Welcome to the Empowered Author Podcast.
Discussion, tips, insights, and advice from those who've been there, done that, helping you write, publish, and market your nonfiction book.
Being an author is something that you've got to take seriously.
I'm proud. I've written a book. What does the reader need first? What does the reader need second?
What happens if you start writing your book before you identify your why? What's the problem with that?
If you're an indie author, you take the risk, you reap the rewards, you are in charge of the decisions, you're the head of that business.
Know that every emotion you're feeling when you're writing is felt by every other writer.
The Empowered Author Podcast. Your podcast hosts are Bonnie and John Wagner Stafford of Ingenium Books.
With Ingenium Books, I'm Bonnie Wagner Stafford, and this is John Wagner Stafford on the other side of the screen. Hi, John.
Hello again.
So today, it's the second of our audiobook series. Today, we are going to dig a little bit deeper into the aspect of nonfiction authors who want to narrate their own audiobooks. So that is where we will start. Now, I will encourage anyone who's listening to or watching this, leave us a question. If you are an author who either has narrated and produced your own audiobook or you are considering it, feel free to post questions and we'll do our best to review and answer them. We will have a couple of links that we will share with you at the appropriate place as we're going through the chit chat. So the first thing though, John, and we're doing this with you because you have an extensive background in sound. You're not just another pretty face. So we won't go through the whole detail, but
yeah.
Right?
You know, yeah, absolutely. Not just a pretty face.
Although you are a pretty face too, but in the first series we talked about your background and you know we're a publisher, but we also have deep experience with audio, and that is largely because of you, film, television, sound producing, video game production with focusing on sound and that sort of thing. So you really know what you're talking about when it comes to audio.
Mm-hmm. I think so, and you know we're gonna start with why. I'll let you continue with the why, actually. Yeah.
Well, but that was exactly where I was gonna go. You know where I was gonna go, which is why would an author of nonfiction consider, or why should an author of nonfiction consider narrating their own audiobook? Why produce an audiobook? I think we covered 2 weeks ago in the previous video where we talked about that, but why would an author want to consider narrating their own?
Yeah, a couple of reasons. I don't think there are a lot of reasons, but there are a couple of reasons. And I think the one that stands out the most, to be the most important to me, is twofold, and this is one notion. The reader wants to hear from the author directly. The reader builds trust and builds a relationship with the author as they're reading the book. So why not come closer to the author by listening to the author's voice? And therefore, the reader will have a better, stronger connection to the author, maybe building a little more trust and looking forward to their next book, their next batch of information, or their next nonfiction information that they'll pass along. So it's all about the personal connection for me, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I would agree with that. You know, it's kind of fun to narrate your own work. You know exactly what you're trying to say, but it isn't always. So even though the reader likes to hear from the author, specifically of nonfiction, it's not always possible or advisable for an author to narrate their own. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about for the rest of this session this morning. We're going to run through, if you say, okay, I do want to narrate my own nonfiction book, what do you need to consider in terms of your environment? What do you need to consider for equipment? And then we're actually going to talk about some narration tips. So let's start with the first thing, John, the environment, and you kind of talk about the environment as a source. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So in 35 plus years of working with audio, nothing has changed over time. And what I mean by that is when I was learning how to record music, when I was learning how to record voiceover in the advertising industry, when I was learning and experiencing and actually doing all this work, the most important message that I got from my mentors and the most important message about recording that I followed was the source has to be the best it can be. And here's a little bit of a visual. Imagine, and talking about an audiobook, imagine me sitting out on my balcony, my new balcony, my new office balcony, soon to be waves splashing up on the beach with birds and wind and trees. And I'm sitting outside and I'm trying to record my audiobook. Doesn't work because you've got all this extraneous noise getting in the way of the message that you're trying to convey. Walk inside to your home, or if I walk inside to my office and I go into my small room with the padding and the microphone, I don't hear any of that. And I can concentrate on the quality source sound, which would be my voice going into the right equipment. So source sound is the most important thing that you can pay attention to when recording your own audiobook.
And how do you make that determination? I am always fascinated when you start talking about how sound bounces around. So you don't necessarily want to be sitting outside on your balcony, but you don't necessarily just want to be coming inside to any room in your house either. What do authors need to think about when they in choosing the right environment?
Yeah, a couple of key things. One is extraneous noise, whether you're outside or inside. And in fact, recording outside, if there was no birds and no wind and it was silent, that would be the perfect recording environment. And what I mean by that is that the sound just goes away. It doesn't reflect off of walls, or there's no reverb or reflection of the sound, which is what gets you into trouble when you come into your home. With parallel surfaces, the sound will reflect back and forth, and that's what creates what we know as either an echo or more appropriate reverb. And you hear the size of the room, you hear this sound of the room, and you don't want to hear that. So coming inside with no extraneous sounds, no ambulances in the background, no dogs barking, no kids playing in the parks, no wind or shattering your windowsills, find a place in your home that is small, that does not have parallel surfaces, which is almost impossible. So you can do a few things to get around that. And those things are by padding it. What we've done recently in where we're living right now is we've taken the curtains off of one of the walls and hung them up in a very small box-like structure. And we've recorded our own audiobooks there with the right equipment, and it's worked very well. So inside, no parallel walls, buffer the sound with curtains or foam. You can buy commercial foam and whatnot, so that the sound is not reverberating off of parallel walls.
Can we just dig into that notion of the parallel walls for a moment? People will be familiar with those eggshell carton shaped things. I mean, if you go to any sound or production studio, when I worked in television, we would go into a very small room to voice our television stories, and the walls would be covered with this foam with, you know, literally looked like egg cartons on the wall. So, but what is it about that shape of things? So, why do people put those things on the wall?
Yeah, so what that does about the shape is that it moves the sound into a different direction, so that it takes a lot longer for the sound to come back to the source. Hard to describe without maybe some better graphics, but if the sound, you know, when you go to you're outside and you're calling to a mountain, there's a mountain in front of you and then there's you, and your sound hits the mountain, and where does it go? It comes back to you. If that mountain was on an angle, your sound would hit the mountain and go away. And so your face to a mountain or a wall, the sound is going to come back to you, and you don't want that. You want the sound to reverberate. You want the sound to move in all sorts of different directions. It takes a longer period of time to get back to the source or the microphone or where your mouth is. So to be practical, turn this into something practical, the more stuff you have in the room, if you've got couches and things on the wall that are not glass and glassy or hard surfaced, soft surfaced stuff, that would help your recording environment.
Let's pause for a moment for a message from our sponsor.
E.M. Tippett's Book Design specializes in quality, upmarket formatting, meaning we convert your Word document into an ebook, paperback, or hardcover. Your book will be functional, and it will look as good as or better than any book from a major publisher. Check out our portfolio at emtippettsbookdesigns.com. That's emtippettsbookdesigns.com. Now back to the podcast.
So the reason that this is important, in case we glossed over this, is that when thinking about that reader experience and that reader connection, if you're not producing quality sound in an environment that isn't distracting, your reader will be distracted. And so the reader, we were listening to a podcast the other day and I was like, I'm really interested in this topic, but I can't listen to this because the guest was calling in via a telephone line that was all crackly. I mean, similar to an experience we might be creating here with internet connection issues with us getting shaky, people will lose tolerance for that. Mm-hmm. But that's what we're talking about, is minimizing those things that will turn off a reader who is listening to the finished product. Can you go ahead and record an audio in a sound in the room where the sound is bouncing around? Yes. Is it going to help your sales of that audiobook? No.
No. And you know, quality is important. And, you know, not only the sound of the room or the source sound, which I always come back to as being the most important element of what you can do to help the quality of the audiobook that you're recording yourself. The quality is important. If another aspect of why good quality source sound is that once you're done recording, and we'll get to this in more detail in a second, but once you're done recording, then someone else has to take that over and work with the sound to, you know, pull things together, eliminate breaths, eliminate pauses, eliminate mistakes in your speaking. And if the quality of the recording is good, they have less work to do. If they have less work to do, then they're going to spend less time. And if they're going to spend less time, you will spend less money, or they will spend less money working at making your product high quality and the best it can be.
Right. Okay. Let's move on to equipment now, because, you know, environment is one thing. Oh my goodness, now I've chosen the spot. Now, how am I going to get it done? And there's all kinds of consumer available equipment. People are podcasting and recording at home. So there's lots of options out there, but it makes a difference. The equipment that you choose makes a difference. So talk to us about what people will look for. And I have an anecdote that I'm going to interject when you start talking about the mics.
At the right spot. Yeah. So to keep it simple, there are three basic pieces of equipment that you need to record your or narrate your own audiobook. Aside from the environment, you've created the right environment, you've got stuff on the walls, you've got your blankets, your macrame, whatever. So that's taken care of. Now we need to get your voice into the digital medium, onto a computer, and then it's got to get off of that computer, you know, to either an editor or up to the platform that's going to distribute the audiobook. So the first thing, and we'll follow the chain of events, your sound environment's clean, then you're going to be speaking. What are you going to do when you're speaking? You're speaking into a microphone. So the microphone is probably one of the next most important things that you can take care of. There are so many out there. I can't speak to anyone that would do you well, but this is important for you to remember. A cardioid microphone is important, and to the best as you can, a unidirectional microphone is important. There are not a lot of unidirectional microphones out there that are affordable, but cardioid is very important. And we have, a list of 10 or 15 microphones that you can take a look at. I encourage you to actually do some research, read some of the information about the microphones that are out there, and decide which one is best for you. Price is going to play a role. Accessibility is going to play a role. The look and feel of the microphone for some people might play a role. How does it look? How does it feel?
This is where I want to interject. Unidirectional versus omnidirectional. And unidirectional is important because it will focus where it is recording the sound. It will choose a fairly narrow spot. So if you had a unidirectional microphone and you only had that option to record sitting outside on John's new balcony, the unidirectional microphone is going to be much more helpful than an omnidirectional microphone. And an omnidirectional microphone can be fantastic for lots of other things. We have a very good omnidirectional microphone. And this is the anecdote that I was going to share. And we had our great microphone set up, and we had this. We were visiting my sister in Toronto, and we were recording the audiobook of, I forget, Rock Your Business.
Yeah.
And we had a room that was quiet, and there were no parallel walls. It was up in in the upper floor of a house, of an older house, so they had the angled walls, so there's no square walls. But this microphone was so good that it picked up every bird chirp. It picked up the garbage truck three blocks away. It picked up the airplanes flying over. We were fairly close to the airport. And so that microphone was too sensitive for the purpose that we were using it for. So unidirectional will focus the sound, and that will help mitigate some of the weaknesses in your environment as well, if you choose a unidirectional microphone. All right, next piece of equipment, John.
So the next piece of equipment is going to be the recording device, and that typically ends up being a computer, a Macintosh computer, a Windows-based computer. And there are a couple of elements here. I mean, we use both Macintosh and Windows, do most of the recording on the Macintosh. There's a lot of software out on the Macintosh that is helpful when you're recording, editing, mixing, and doing all of the sound production stuff. But Windows is also very good. But the elements, and again, I encourage you to do your own research about what's going to fit you best. Macintoshes might be a little more expensive. Windows might be a little less expensive or accessible. And then there are different softwares that work and don't work on any one of those platforms. But the two pieces of core information that are important for the computer is that it uses a dual core processor, which will be running your computer at a speed that will allow you to capture the digital audio and work with that digital audio. And that it has probably more than 8 gig of RAM. So not hard disk space, but, and I'm using an old term here, but RAM. So it's the memory that's inside your computer that is always active and always storing and using the computer's memory. It's not your hard disk space. That's a different thing. So at least I would say 8 gigs, because you're going to be running programs that are heavy enough and, more and more. I mean, we have a Mac that's got 8 gigs, and it slows down because we have too many, the software is too big now. So we need to increase that. So those are the two most important things. And go ahead.
I was just going to say also that in our experience, then you get your environment and you get the right microphone, and then where you place the microphone is also important. There was I was doing some podcasts with an organization, and I had the microphone sitting, I can't remember, fairly close to the computer, or what did I have it clipped on the monitor? I don't remember, but the fan from the computer was being picked up by our very sensitive, very high quality omnidirectional microphone, but it was almost unusable. So the where you put the computer, and that's why you will also see sometimes the microphone stands that, and the advantage of that is that it's the microphone is not connected to a hard surface where it might pick up vibrations or the sound actually from the computer fan. In the very funny looking crude setup that we have here where we are, we actually have a yoga strap where we have the microphone suspended from bars that we have hanging, where we have these curtains hanging around this little square space, and we have the microphone descending and hanging, so it's not touching any other surface. It's suspended there, so you can look for that. Is there something else on equipment, or are we ready to move to the actual narration tips?
Yeah, no, there's one other thing about equipment, and it's the software that you would use inside the computer to do the recording. And there are, again, a number of pieces of software out there. Three that come to mind that I've used for recording and narrating audiobooks. In the Macintosh environment, there's GarageBand. In the Windows environment, and there's Pro Tools, which is a more professional system, but also available in a free version, but you need a honking computer to run that. And on the Windows environment, there are a few, but there's one that works well for all platforms that seems to be very popular, very easy to use, and that's called Audacity. And that's going to give you pretty much everything you need in terms of recording your audio, fixing and cleaning up your audio, editing your audio, whether you're doing it or somebody else is doing it, and outputting the audio in the formats that you need to upload to any distributor or move to an editor or a third party who's going to work with your digital audio after the fact. So microphone, your environment, the computer, and the software being, I suggest Audacity is one thing to take a look at. GarageBand's good. Pro Tools is another one. And there are a few others out there as well.
Great. Okay. So decision-making time for an author, there's a lot to consider. We've gone through environment. We've gone through equipment. We've talked about why readers want to connect. But it's still, even if you get all that stuff right, it still might not be the right thing for you to narrate your own audiobook. And that all comes down to things like voice quality, diction, whether you have speech habits that become distracting to someone listening. And so, you know, any kind of training in speaking, or, you know, anybody with broadcast experience, or, you know, who's done voiceovers professionally, that's a no-brainer. People who speak in front of large groups probably would have an easier time, but it's not going to be right for everybody. And the decision is all around what is that experience going to be for the reader. So in making the decision to go ahead and narrate your own audiobook, John, what are some tips that you would give an author to make that narration and produce a quality that won't distract the listener?
Number one for me might be, do you feel comfortable narrating? Are you comfortable with this? Does it feel good that you're speaking into a microphone and telling your story? If that doesn't feel comfortable for you, and you continue reading, someone on the other end who's listening to that is going to pick up on that uncomfortness or that uncomfortable feeling that you have, and it will become uncomfortable for them. So I think feeling good about what you are doing, what you can do, is actually at the base of it all. Taking that then one step further is a little bit of knowledge about how to read. And remember that you are telling your story, but you're telling it in a way that the reader can understand the story. And, you know, everybody reads a book differently. People might have this little voice in their head when they're actually reading a book, and that voice is going all the time. And you want to be able to become that voice of the reader. So you're telling a story, and you're not only telling a big picture story, but every chapter, every paragraph is its own story. So you need to be able to understand what the message is that you're trying to say, both in fiction and nonfiction. We work in nonfiction primarily, so nonfiction has storytelling in it all the time. And you want to pull out and make sure that you're telling the story that needs to be told at every moment. Every paragraph, every chapter, every sentence has its own little story, and you need to be able to bring that out and bring the best out of the story with your inflections. You're going to be raising your voice, you're going to be smiling, you're going to be happy, you're going to be sad, and bring the emotion to the story when you are narrating. I think that's also something that you need to be able to do and feel good about to have a positive impact on the reader. Another small little antidote is when you get into reading, you're feeling good, you're believing that you're telling the story, you don't want to speak too fast and you don't want to speak too slowly. And it's hard to know what's fast and too fast. It's hard to know what's too slow, but it's got to feel good. So what I suggest you do is you do a test read and try a few different speeds and maybe even send those off, that test off to a third party, a friend or, you know, someone who is an audiobook listener and ask them, does this sound okay? Is the timing and the pace okay for you? And get some feedback from some other people before you continue recording your whole audiobook to find out, oh my gosh, I rushed through that and nobody can understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, and of course, when we work with authors producing audiobooks, we request and require that first check. So if you're working with a publisher, that will be your first check. As opposed to doing it on your own to self-publish. Now, I had a thought just as you were talking about the diction, and it's escaped me now. So mouth sounds. What do we do about mouth sounds?
Yeah, you don't want to be also, sorry, I don't know if you can hear that, but you don't want to have your mouth very wet so that we're hearing the slap of your tongue against the top of your mouth or your lips moving. You want to keep it fairly quiet. You also want to have a clear sound in your voice, except if the story calls for, you know, something rugged like this. You want to have a clear sound to your voice. And you don't want to be breathing heavily all the time. You don't want to be and then starting your sentence and starting your sentence. You want to try to pace your breathing and try not to breathe outwardly like that as much as you can. And why? Yes, it's natural to breathe when you're speaking, but it's not natural to breathe heavily necessarily. And even if you do breathe heavily when you're speaking naturally, it's not always pleasant and nice to hear that breathing when you're in an environment as a listener. It's being imposed on you as a listener. You can't get away from it if you want to listen to that book. If that breathing is bothersome, you're not going to listen to the book as a reader, or as a listener. So that's going to turn some people off. So you want to try to minimize that heavy breathing. And if you can't, then someone's going to have to cut that out, and that's going to take more time and cost more money at the end of the day.
Yeah, and if you haven't left space between the breath and when you start speaking, that becomes problematic.
I'm just going to add something there, Bonnie. Sorry. Professional narrators are trained, and they know how to do this very well. They know how much water to sip on when they need water, and too much water, it gets your mouth too wet, and not enough gets your mouth too dry, and then your saliva builds up, and then it gets sticky, and you hear it. So, all these little details that I've learned over the years in producing audio and recording narrators, professional narrators know how to do this. So there's a little bit of learning to do.
So the thing that pulls all of this together then, just as we're getting ready to wrap up, is the connection between the environment and the narration. And that is, you know, it actually takes a fair bit of time to narrate an audiobook, even a short audiobook. We've been narrating a couple that are around 25,000 words, and it's a good solid 3 to 4 hours of sitting there narrating, pausing, retaking when you stumble over the words. So it's exhausting. So if you don't have 4 solid hours that you can devote to this, and it might be a question of energy level that might not make sense to do it. I can tell when I'm getting fatigued, I start to stumble and make more mistakes. It's like, okay, I got to put this down for another day. When you do that, you need to make sure when you come back the next day that you're in exactly the same spot, environment, you have the same setup. You can't say, oh, I'm going to narrate sitting on the sofa today, and tomorrow I'm going to be sitting at the dining room table. The sound is going to be completely different. Yeah.
I'll just add, I know we have to go soon, but just add something real quick. So taking note of how far you are from the microphone is very important. There will be settings on your software and there'll be settings on your microphone. Make sure they are exactly the same every day you come back. And I highly recommend, especially if you're not a professional, to take breaks because you will get fatigued, and that fatigue is going to turn into and be heard by the listener. So you want to not be tired. It's going to be reflected in how you're speaking. It's going to be reflected in the pace that you end up speaking at, and that pace will change. The more tired you get, it's going to change. It might get faster, it might get slower, but it will definitely change. So you want to have the right energy. You want to come back in the same position, put an X on the floor where your microphone was, or an X on the table. And another thing, you want to be careful with where the computer is that's recording, and the device that you're reading from. It could be your iPad. If it's your computer, you're going to be changing screens. You're going to be touching the computer, and you're going to hear that. So you have to be conscious about that as well. If you let that go, the editor's going to have to cut that out. More time, more money.
Yeah, and more pickups, more lists of pickups. You got to redo this because there was a click sound or whatever it is. We're out of our time. We blew through 30 minutes there. So thank you for your expertise, John. And again, thanks. I'm Bonnie Wagner Stafford from Ingenium Books with John Wagner Stafford from Ingenium Books. Thanks.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Empowered Author Podcast, please feel free to share it on social media. We'd also be very grateful if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the Empowered Author on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you access your podcasts. That's helpful for us, but more importantly, it's helpful for other indie authors who are looking for resources to help them on their continuous learning journey. Thanks for listening.